Hello and welcome to Fatal Whispers, The Trial of Nick Boyd. I am your host, Alex Bennett. On this episode, I am going to break down everything that has happened so far this week in the trial of Nick Boyd for the murder of Ted Anderson. For those of you who may be new to the show, Nick and Ted were best friends that worked at First Quality Bank in Nashville. On April 1st, 2023, Ted was found dead in his office, and all signs point to his bestie, Nick, being the killer. Nick has been on trial this week, and what seemed like an open-and-shut case has opened up into a web of complicated relationships, conspiracy theories, and complex secrets. If that seems vague, it definitely is. Make sure you go back and listen to the previous episodes of Fatal Whispers for this season. But if you're all caught up and ready for updates, here we go. Opening statements were pretty straightforward. The state is arguing that Nick not only killed his friend Ted, but also that he constructed a bomb and had planned on destroying the bank itself. However, given some complications with the search warrant for Nick's home, there are currently no charges pertaining to the bomb. The state believes Nick should and will spend the rest of his life in prison for murder. The defense appeared to lack direction. Defense attorney Jacob Lilly just repeated time and time again the phrase, "the state has the burden of proving," and then would go into a claim about evidence, the upcoming testimony, and the state's theory of what happened. He appears to be trying to lower the bar of reasonable doubt every time he opens his mouth. And based on the evidence we've seen so far, he's getting desperate. The state called a cell tower expert from Tri-County Cellular to the stand to show that Nick's phone was in the vicinity of the bank on the day of Ted's murder. Nick was ultimately arrested near the library, which should ping a separate tower altogether. But there is some minimal overlap. When you're downtown, it's tough to tell which tower should ping depending on how reliable you believe this type of evidence is. The defense tried to muck up this topic, citing findings, even those that were reversed, in the Adnan Syed case, saying that incoming calls are not reliable when it comes to cell towers. Basically, everyone agrees Nick was downtown when Ted was killed. What block was he on? Nobody knows, but him being at the bank could not be ruled out. The medical examiner took the stand next, and this was when the defense team really started to make a fool of themselves. The examiner showed that the time of death is in the strict window of 12 p.m. to 12:45 p.m., and that the knife found in the kitchen, with Ted's blood on it, mind you, was a perfect fit for the wounds created on Ted's body. Given the knife had to undergo testing to identify the blood, but it was still Ted's blood. Dr. Metz's testimony left no doubt that the murder weapon was the knife in the kitchen. Now, what does this mean? Based on the other cases I've researched, a murder weapon that was originally at the crime scene can tell us several things. It's highly unlikely that the person who committed the crime did not come to the scene with the specific intent to commit murder. If that was the case, they'd very likely would have brought their own weapon. This also shows that the killer likely knew his way around the bank. We've all been in banks, there's no kitchen out in the open. To know where a weapon could be and to get there quickly enough to do so undetected makes it seem like the killer had been in the bank before.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a brief break and hear a word from our sponsors, but we will be back with Fatal Whispers, The Trial of Nick Boyd. This is Brother Jedediah of the Amish Entertainment Coalition here with Prudence the Mule, contacting you and yours through this wretched box of sin to tell you about a holy opportunity that is coming your way. That is Amish Summer Camp, a fun-filled event for all ages that truly brings the essence of the Amish spirit to bear. Activities include barn raising, field plowing, and corn. Immerse yourself in an electricity-free environment where you can truly experience the essence of the Amish way of life. Plow fields with Sister Sarah, raise barns with Cousin Ulysses, and do everything you can to not experience any of the joys of modern life. Other activities include campfire songs with such classics as "Keep That Devil Spark Away From Me," "I Won't Dance, You Can Make Me." So come on down to Amish Summer Camp and get yourself a taste of that Amish way of life. Prudence and I will be waiting for you, right, Prudence?
the head of security, Don Halpert, for First Quality Bank, was called this week as well. He confirmed that all surveillance footage for the bank on the day of the murder was mysteriously erased. Everything was tracked and stored digitally, and the system was wiped by the time he tried to pull the footage later that day. It is somewhat unclear whether the recording stopped before the murder or if it was erased after, but regardless, it does not exist. The defense questioned Halpert about a backup system, as most banks do have a system in place in case the primary surveillance system malfunctions. He confirmed that the bank had recently gotten a new storage system for the footage, and the backup was scheduled to be installed on Monday. Again, this is something a bank employee may have known, giving credence to the idea that it was an inside job. Cindy King was the last witness for the week. Her father was a business owner, the owner of Bill's Barbershop. Bill had taken out a loan from First Quality Bank to start his business. However, it was foreclosed upon within a year. He went on to commit suicide as a result of losing his business. However, Cindy presented documentation to show that Bill had been making his payments on time. In fact, he never missed a single payment. So the prosecution used this to try and show that Nick Boyd was using his position to take the incoming funds and divert them elsewhere so he could have the money for himself. Based on the documentation provided, that certainly looks like what happened. But the defense presented evidence from the bank's procedure guide showing that one person alone could not execute a foreclosure, and it would be impossible for Nick to orchestrate all of these without being caught. Defense attorney Lily also spent time asking King about her relationship with Nick outside of the bank. It seems that she served as his nurse during a hospital stay. And the defense tried desperately to show that Nick and Cindy King continued their relationship after he was discharged. King denied these claims, but I'm not sure I buy it. I think there could be more there, and I am looking into it. Basically, judging by what happened in the courtroom this week, the prosecution has built a huge lead in this case. By watching the faces of the jurors, you can see their disdain for Nick and how they are eating up everything the prosecution says. However, it should be known that the defense has yet to present their case or call any witnesses. I don't know exactly what they have or what angle they will take, but their cross-examination of all the prosecution's witnesses has been pretty underwhelming. And perhaps the biggest bombshell of this episode, and maybe of Fatal Whispers overall, I have been contacted by, let's say, a member of Nick's team. I'm being asked to assist in the investigation from their point of view. Given that I do not get paid by Nick's team and there's no gag order in place, I am free to openly speak about these conversations and what I find out. Nick insists on his innocence and has made some bold claims about being framed. In fact, I have not only been asked to look into the mythical creature called Apollo, but into a specific individual who Nick's team believes is behind this Apollo persona. I have openly been a skeptic about the whole Apollo thing, and while I am not prepared to share what I've learned just yet, I am starting to believe that there may be something to it. I know it sounds crazy. I know I have been adamant about Nick Boyd's guilt, and I am not convinced otherwise 100%. I do not want to compromise my own personal investigation, so I can't share everything right now, but if you ask me to place a bet on if Apollo was real, I'd be willing to make a hefty wager. And, based on some interactions in the courtroom this week, I think I may know who he or she is. You will not want to miss the next update on the trial and the pursuit for Apollo 1 week from today, right here on Fatal Whispers, The Trial of Nick Boyd.
Hi, Alex. It's Cindy King. We need to talk.